continuing on with our vegan nutritional trifecta, we covered protein yesterday. So the other two nutrients that people worry about most often when going vegan are iron and calcium. So we're going to start with iron. You can find rich plant sources of iron in beans and legumes, as well as the leafy greens, which includes broccoli, and molasses. The iron intake of most vegans and vegetarians is actually pretty high, because iron per calorie is higher in plant foods than in animal foods. The iron in plant foods is a different form than the iron in animal foods, and it can be more difficult to absorb. But there are some simple things you can do to counteract that and get plenty of plant-based iron in your body. So vitamin C helps your body absorb plant food sources of iron. So eating lots of vitamin C-rich foods is a great way to improve your iron levels. And leafy greens are cool because they're a great source of vitamin C as well as iron, so they do double duty. Citrus, berries, and bell peppers are also a good source of vitamin C. Vegans and vegetarians who eat a lot of fresh vegetables and fruit actually have a pretty high intake of vitamin C, so we don't have to worry about it too much, and that will tend to offset the lower absorption rate of plant sources of iron. Studies haven't found that vegans or vegetarians have any trouble with iron deficiencies. Levels of iron deficiency or anemia are on par with non-vegetarians, and our daily intake meets or exceeds the RDA on average, which for adult males is 8 milligrams per day. For adult females is 18 milligrams per day. The difference is because of menstruation. We lose iron when we menstruate. So over 50, females will only need 8 milligrams per day once they pass menopause. Slight increase when we are pregnant, we need 27 milligrams per day. So that's maybe the only time you might need an iron supplement, because otherwise, most vegans and vegetarians do not need an iron supplement. One note on iron absorption is that the tannins in coffee and tea, whether black or green tea, can interfere with iron absorption when you drink it at the same time as you eat foods with iron. So drinking coffee and tea only between meals seems to be totally fine. So just avoid, if you're low in iron, just avoid having coffee or tea with a meal. And that includes red wine as well, because it has tannins. Also, phytic acid, which is in things like seeds, beans, grains, and raw spinach and chard, also interfere with iron absorption. But vitamin C does help counteract that effect. And the phytic acid is also broken down when you soak or cook these foods properly. So some symptoms to look out for in terms of iron deficiency might be extreme fatigue, weakness, pale skin, chest pain, fast heartbeat or shortness of breath, headache, dizziness, or lightheadedness, cold hands and feet, inflammation or soreness of your tongue, or brittle nails. Now keep in mind, a lot of these symptoms could be signs of various things. So unless you have a bunch of those symptoms, you might not consider iron first. And unless you've had blood tests done to measure your iron levels, and unless you've been told after those blood tests that you are deficient by a doctor, there shouldn't be any need to take iron supplements. And even if you do find yourself with an iron deficiency, you might be able to correct it by eating lots of legumes and vitamin C-rich fruits and vegetables. Now, I know a lot of vegan multivitamins include iron, but if you don't need to take iron, then I'd suggest getting the iron-free version, because iron supplements can accrue in excess in your system. The main side effects are constipation, nausea, and headaches. For more info on iron, take a read through a fantastic and highly detailed article on vegan health. It's a great resource if you have anyone in your life, like a doctor, telling you that you have to have meat to get iron. As Jack says, anemia in meat eaters is normally treated with large doses of supplemental iron, not with eating more meat. So why would we do that as vegans? On to calcium. Now, for so long, cow's milk was considered the only good source of calcium. But it turns out that the best way to get usable calcium is to eat a variety of plant foods, like quinoa, chickpeas, sesame seeds, and broccoli. The dark green leafy vegetables are particularly good sources. And the great thing about plant sources of calcium is that, unlike milk, they also have magnesium, vitamin K, and potassium, which are essential, along with vitamin D, for your body to absorb and use the calcium. These nutrients work together in your body, and none of them will be properly utilized unless they're in the right balance. So unless you get all of those other nutrients from other sources, the calcium that's in dairy milk won't get fully used and often causes other problems like acne or joint pain. For myself, it causes allergies, and it's one of the major allergens and sources of food intolerance. Now, the cause of deficiency of calcium isn't always a low intake. It can just as easily be a lack of absorption. Low liver function or low stomach acid levels are another common cause of calcium deficiency. Calcium is just a really difficult mineral for our bodies to absorb. So making sure that your stomach is active enough is the first thing to look at in correcting a deficiency. Taking a digestive enzyme is a great way to help your stomach keep up, although eating smaller meals with whole plant foods and chewing properly is even more helpful, and it's free. Now, excess phosphorus, and there's lots of phosphorus in bran, wheat germ, cheese, soybeans, and bacon. Excess phosphorus displaces calcium, which means it doesn't allow your body to absorb it. Same with foods that have oxalic acid, which is found in rhubarb, raw spinach, and a little bit in chocolate. So those things can interfere with the absorption of calcium. Take note, I am not saying do not eat chocolate, just saying when you're eating calcium-rich foods to get your calcium or you're taking a calcium supplement, don't have chocolate at the same time. Also, if you're low in vitamin D or magnesium, that can be an indirect cause of calcium deficiency because those nutrients are necessary for calcium to be absorbed and utilized. And those other nutrients that work with calcium to build strong bones are vitamin K, which you find in dark green leafy vegetables, potassium, which is high in all plant foods, magnesium, and boron, which is in lots of plant foods, particularly beans, legumes, and nuts. Now, I love seeing fairly mainstream publications recommending plant sources of calcium, so I'm also going to send you a link to a Harvard School of Public Health article talking about plant sources of milk, which is awesome. So the RDA of calcium for adults under 50 is 1,000 milligrams per day. After 50, you are recommended to up it to 1,200 milligrams per day. You can be on the lookout for calcium deficiency symptoms, which include confusion or memory loss, muscle spasms, numbness and tingling in the hands, feet, and face, depression, hallucinations, muscle cramps, weak and brittle nails, and easy fracturing of the bones. Again, one of those symptoms on its own could be an indication of any number of things. So unless you have several of those, you may not be deficient in calcium. It might be something else. You can also get blood tests done for calcium. So the RDA is 1,000 milligrams per day, but the average vegan in studies is getting 500 to 600 milligrams per day. And my meal plans usually have about 700 milligrams per day. So why are we short on calcium? Well, calcium is a really large molecule, and when it's in food, it usually comes in calorie-rich foods like nuts and seeds. So if we aren't eating 2,000 or more calories a day, which I don't, I'm more like 1600, we aren't going to get quite enough calcium to meet the RDA. Now, some people I know maintain their blood calcium levels through food alone, plant foods, and they probably have really good absorption rates. The RDA is actually based on a 25% absorption rate, so you only need to absorb 250 milligrams of calcium per day. So if you're only eating enough to get 700 milligrams on paper, but your body is absorbing at higher than 25%, you can still get 250 milligrams into your bloodstream. But as a nutritionist, I can't recommend that you get less than the government-stated RDA. I just can't. Also, there's no downside to having a bit of a calcium boost unless you go over 1400 milligrams a day from supplements. So what I do is I take a supplement to get about 300 milligrams of calcium to take me from the 700 I get from food to the 1000 RDA. And my multivitamin has about 50 milligrams, so I take an extra capsule with 250 milligrams of calcium and some vitamin D. We'll get to the vitamin D and a couple other supplements for vegans in a few days. Now, the bonus of taking an extra calcium supplement is that if you take it before bed, it can help you sleep better and helps your muscles relax. If you get muscle cramps, it may be that you need some more calcium, as per the deficiency symptoms. But I will warn that there are lots of poor calcium magnesium supplements out there. You don't want it compressed down into a dense, non-absorbable tablet. I usually get a capsule because it will be absorbed into your body easier. And calcium should be accompanied by magnesium and vitamin D for better absorption. Whether you get that from foods that you eat at the same time, or they come in the same supplement, or you take an additional supplement, however you do it, you should get calcium, magnesium, vitamin D together. The vitamin K and the potassium are easily covered by the foods that we're eating. And then a note on bone density issues. Weight-bearing exercise and having muscle mass is super important for maintaining bone density. Women aren't told that until it's too late, unfortunately, and they've started developing osteoporosis. But really important for women because we reach our peak bone mass in our early 30s. So it's important to do as much as we can before that to build bone density. The higher that our peak bone mass is, the longer we maintain good bone density. And then after our early 30s, that's when we just try to maintain as much as possible to slow the loss down. Keep in mind that osteoporosis is highly linked to heredity, so even if you do everything right, you might still lose bone mass as you age. Don't beat yourself up about that. All we can do is our best to prevent as much as possible. And it might be a good idea, particularly if you don't have very good balance, to work with a trainer to help you work on that balance so that you don't fall as you get older and break bones, which will be harder to heal if you're losing bone density. So I hope that info about iron and calcium was helpful, gave you some good tips to be confident in getting enough for yourself from plants. Your recipe for today is going to help you with that. It's going to be full of iron and calcium-rich foods. It's going to be yummy lentil chili. So rich and satisfying and perfect topped with some creamy guacamole. Just don't make the mistake that my mom and I made the first time we tried cooking lentil chili. They look really small when you start from dried lentils, but those lentils will grow. If you've not cooked them before, trust me on the amount. My mom and I didn't realize that they grew so big when we made it, and we were also doing it in a slow cooker, so they were in there for hours. We decided to add some extra lentils to the recipe and were shocked when we opened the top of the slow cooker later on. It was just exploding with lentils. So you can make this recipe on the stove, in a slow cooker, or even in a pressure cooker if you like, but trust me on the quantity of the lentils. So hope you enjoy it, and we will talk tomorrow.